cliffcentral.com.
Dumela mba heso. Ena ke nako ya sipping tea. Ho nwa tea le ngwane no a o ke mo gatlanga holo ba ke tsumi moraki. Mona na re a bua. Re bua ntho tsohle. Ha ho monwana o re sa o nyekeng. Ha ho matrase o re sa o petroling. Ha ho stupu se re sa se policing. Ha e ka neng ditaba tsa lenaneo di thulana le maikutlo a hao. Ka nnete ke taba hore o nyolose kgohlo o ye ka mane ka dipuding. O dula o re letsatsi le tla le o hahle o lokise monahano. Mo re a bua. Re bua puo pha. Tumi, ha ba shwe.
Aba shwe indeed. Impebe li ikutlwetse he batho ba batle. Tumi Morake le nna mma ba le moloe ke khutlile ka matla.
Oh yes. I am back by force, by divine intervention, by resignations at previous places of employment. It's a long story. I'm Mabale Moloi. This is Sipping Tea on cliffcentral.com. Welcome to it. Dumi Morake is, in fact, away for a while. She has been whisked away to foreign parts of the planet. Okay, well, maybe not so foreign. She's been in Australia over the last few days, and as I understand, this week she is in New Zealand. And I'm a little bit unsure as to exactly why Dumi Morake is all the way over there and why, you know, she has decided to abandon me, but it's okay. I'm not going to take it too personally because, you know, her famous saying is Bereka Mosadi, and that's what Dumi is all about. She is working hard. She is not wasting any time. Let me just see here if I can successfully get a hold of Dumi on the line because... what's
howdy.
The...
Good day, mate.
Tharolo me, ke nana hore ke thotse number e wrong mona. Ke Tumi Morake o.
Sorry, mate. Don't hear what you're saying.
Oh, gosh. Hi, Tumi. How are you in New Zealand? In New Zealand is where you are, right?
In New Zealand is very much where I am.
Mm.
It is 7 minutes past 10 p.m.
Nice.
And yeah.
Are you, I mean, it's only after 10. Shouldn't you be exploiting the New Zealand nightlife? Shouldn't you be out somewhere throwing your way horribly away, but then it's okay because you're in a foreign country, so nobody will hold it against you? I mean, shouldn't you be, you know, causing a scene?
I feel like you're describing my trip perfectly. That's exactly it. But you know how it is, you check in with the wife before you go and play. So I'm checking in with SA,
yes,
my rechter, my soli, my official.
Okay.
And then when I'm finished with the official, I'm gonna just jump into this side chick for a little bit.
That's fine. But now Dumi, why exactly are you in New Zealand and why were you in Australia last week? What's your story here? What's going on?
I know, right? You sound, what you sound like? You sound like those people who meet South Africans who moved to Australia and we go, why? Why did you go there? Why?
Explain yourself. Make me understand. And then before you left, you were telling Gareth and I before you left the one morning that when your visa and all your documents were approved, people said to you, how are you also leaving?
Yes, it was so funny. At the visa center, I was the only black person there. I was going to get an Australian visa. And I promise you, everyone in that queue looked at me like, are you not lost? I can't tell you why.
Are you sure you want to get on that plane?
Much worse than we thought. No, but they looked like they wanted to ask, is it that bad?
Yeah.
Are we all jumping in there? But I'm here because I'm gigging, man. I'm basically doing this tourism show where we're basically marketing South Africa to the Australians and the Kiwis. So yeah, man, we started off in Australia. We were in Brisbane, Melbourne, where else were we? Sydney. And then we headed here. We actually arrived here this afternoon. We're now in New Zealand. It's a much friendlier country than Australia, I must say.
Oh, then okay. Again,
you know what? Mm. Yeah, like Australia. No offense to the Australians, please. It's cool. It's a great place. It's just Australia feels like South Africa without the soul. Just a terrible thing to say, but it does. It feels very South African. But it's like if you take South Africa and then you remove soul.
So it would be like it would be like the meat or the chicken, but without the spices. It's just bland, like how the people in the UK eat their meat. They don't put any spices on it. They put salt and pepper.
Dude. And then I was meeting these South Africans who were like, oh, you're making me miss home. I'm like, no, don't make your problems my problem. I didn't tell you to run away. We did not tell you. Nobody said go. You chose to go. But I was much nicer. Shame. Although, when you look at what the rand is doing, you're like, I get why you're in Australia.
Yeah, the rand.
I'd like to end in Australian dollars.
You know, the rand is essentially...
It's not nice.
No, the rand is essentially that that spouse that you just, you know, you give in to the notion that this person is going to cheat on me for the rest of her marriage. So either I must just accept it or then I must, you know, pack my things and go. And you've decided, okay, I'm accepting it. I'm going to stick it out. But I know this person is going to be doing this every 6 months. Every 6 months, there's going to be a new side chick.
No, you see, the problem in South Africa is exactly that sometimes. Like, it's an amazing country. The longer I've been away, the more I've been missing it. I mean, we don't know how much we've got going for ourselves. I really think we really sell ourselves short as South Africans. I do not want to lie to you.
Mm.
And the only tack thing is that Vele, the rand is like that wife that let herself go. And, you know, she doesn't even bother to change her style, at least. You know, she's had the same hairstyle for the past 2.5 years.
Mm.
Now she's gaining weight. She's not dressing nicely. She's buying those box dresses instead of something hot and...
Okay, yeah. Anyway. So what you're saying is that we need to demand better of ourselves as a country. No, that's a good analogy. I like that. But when you meet the South Africans who are expats, do you find that, you know, some of them are curious as to how things are going this side, or are most of them happy and relieved and have kind of moved on, or you know, do some of them wish, oh no, you know, I wish I could go back home?
Some are embarrassed because they know they've been selling some serious bullshit about us here, and obviously then I arrive with other South Africans who are very excited about the country, because I mean the group I'm traveling with, you know, you have Afrikaners, you have Englishmen, you have me representing the Tswana nation and everything of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you get that sense of you're eating your own words, you know, because there's one who was talking about crime and asking, so how bad is it now? And I'm like, it's still safer to come to us than to go to Brazil. You know, and we're still thriving as a nation. We have problems. We're thriving as a nation. You know what I mean? So, yeah, look, there are people who are genuinely here because they got better opportunities in terms of, you know, earning and stuff. And then there are people who are literally here because they gave up before they even started trying, you know?
Mm.
Mm. I even met a lady who was telling me that she's half Afrikaans, ne?
Okay.
And her daughter is doing some school project and she picked to do her project on Nelson Mandela. And I was like, oh, that's sweet, mommy. I'll come back home.
So then when are you back this side? I mean, how many more of these New Zealand nights do you get to enjoy?
Hey, Mona, if I have to pay 400 rand for a burger again, I will just cry.
Shall we?
Honestly. You costing money here, my friend. Yeah, it's not this thing is not a joke. This thing, you know what I'm really appreciating about our country, honestly and truly, that even with the rent strong or weak, the value for money in terms of the things we can get in that country, and especially with the things we really, because you know what we have in common with what I've noticed with New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa, is our love for meat, for good food, and for nice alcohol, for nice wine, for nice beer.
Yeah.
And the offerings we have in our country and the variety for the price that we offer, it's unparalleled. It really is unparalleled. I mean, I'm here and I'm finding it so easy to serve our country. You know what I mean? Yet I've been here for how long now? It's been 3, this is my second week on in this part of the world. And I don't feel revved up about anything. I don't feel myself going, oh, I must bring back the family. You know what I mean? I mean, it's great to see the world, and yes, you know, it's great to see the koala and the wallabies and the kangaroos and, you know, to see the beautiful opera. But you don't get that thing of the people. I think our biggest and best export is the people.
To me, you know, having never been to a place like New Zealand myself, I've always imagined that it probably has an interesting look or face about it, in the sense that there's probably a lot of, you know, genetic variations when you look at the people that make up the nation. I mean, are New Zealanders kind of interesting looking?
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of people, when they travel to a foreign country, they have preconceived notions of the kind of people that they that. Hello? Do me.
Yeah, I'm still here.
What were you doing there?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so tell me about
I was grabbing my peppermint tea.
Oh, okay. So tell me about, you know, New Zealanders, and you know, every time I see those big burly men on the rugby field, the All Blacks, I'm like, what an interesting looking, you know, group of individuals.
Yeah.
So tell me about all of that, because I'm curious about that kind of stuff.
Big burly men.
Well, you
We
know,
have
the
standard.
and well, I mean, when it, you know, with the All Blacks, I mean, they're all big, and yeah.
Dude, I was looking at them and I was like, honestly, all we need is a breeding program. That's all we need. Find up some of the honeys from here, mix them with some of the chicks from our country. We will be like rugby champions again. We just need to, all we start with is a 20-year plan. We take our finest, but they have to be Afrikaner because, you know, those are our biggest and, in my opinion, best, you know, among our best players, ne?
Okay.
And then you take those guys, those big guys, also the build, you know, the big, you know how our, you know, you take those guys and then you come and meet them here with those chicks. You know, we can't bring our girls here because then they won't come back. Then we have a problem because then the All Blacks will only become even more super power. So we have to bring them to that side. But they are big. It only gets awkward because some of the women are built like that. Some people don't like
This is not the first time I've heard things like that being said about. Okay. Okay, I get. All right, well, listen, my love.
I'm not even talking fat. I'm talking big. I'm talking kind of big where you're like, that's a solid body. That's
Yeah.
not a, oh, cut down. That's your jeans. But they're so
With
friendly.
friendly, hey?
They are so friendly, Joe. But also, there's a lot of foreigners here. I'm starting to wonder, Jay, Australia, New Zealand, they must explain themselves. Especially Australia. Australia, it's very rare for me to pick up like a proper and authentic Australian, you know? Yeah, but it's interesting, man.
To me, we miss you terribly. You will be back next week. I look forward to it. And you and I need to have an official reunion ceremony because, you know, I did that horrible thing to you
You
over the last
should.
couple of weeks where I left and abandoned you.
Yes,
But now
you
I'm
missed
back.
my heart. Yeah.
You and I
Yeah.
reunited. I look forward to us having a good old time. All right. So, Jimmy, we're going to let you go. Are you going to sleep now? It's only 10 o'clock there. You're going to go to sleep. You're actually going to
I'm
go to
gonna sleep,
sleep.
but what should I bring you? Should I bring you a koala? Do you want a kangaroo? What do you want?
Bring me an animal from the land that we do not have roaming around on our streets here. And I dare you to successfully get that through border officials and to, you know, it makes me think of that one on the of that one TV show called Banged Up Abroad, where people are caught trying to smuggle in all kinds of
Me
goods
too.
from different
Yeah.
countries, and then they end up being, you know, held back. So try and bring me one of those, and let's see if you can successfully bring it into the country.
I'm gonna put a Maori boy in my bag. Just put him to sleep, put him in my
All right, Jimmy, we'll catch up with you next
Sharp. I
week.
will see you guys soon.
Okay, fantastic.
All
That
righty.
is
Bye.
Dumi Moraike live from New Zealand. She will be back with all of us next week, Tuesday. But in the meantime, As I mentioned, while Dumi is away, I have invited a good friend of mine to play. This is what I like to do. I like just catching up with some of the people that I know who are personal friends of mine and then who are also doing amazing things, you know, with regards to their businesses, their careers. And so I've got my good friend, Paddy Khwele, joining me in studio today. Hi, Paddy.
Hello, Mapale.
It's so good to see you. There's a lot to catch up on because several weeks ago, I was, you know, happily filtering through my Twitter timeline. And then I discovered that my good friend, Paddy, had been a contestant on Top Chef South Africa.
I know. What was I thinking? Okay.
So Paddy, among many, many various different things, describes himself as... is it fair to say socialite, diva extraordinaire, chef, events architect? You wear a number of different labels on your person, Paddy.
Oh gosh, listen, you are ruining my reputation. Stop it.
I haven't even begun yet.
I mean, since 2002, 2008, is it?
Yeah, that's how long we've known each other.
We've known each other since 2008, but what a delight to see you.
It's very good to see you too, my friend.
And thanks for the invite, by the way. Cliff Central is a booming figure in its own. It's like personified.
You know, we're doing our thing on the side. We're going about doing our thing.
Okay, fantastic.
Now my phone is going out of control. Muzzle Let me just put top. This on silent. So, Paddy,
yes.
Let's start immediately with Top Chef SA because I think that is where, you know, people will know you from.
Yes.
So Top Chef SA, give me the brief premise of the show, because you know there are a lot of these different reality TV shows that involve cooking and competition.
Sure.
So what Top Chef?
Right. Okay, so basically I was called in by a friend of mine to just go to Top Chef SA, the very first season of Top Chef SA, and I begrudgingly decided to go to the show. Uh-huh. Mind you, I'm not a chef. And
okay, so stop right there.
Yes. I know.
Okay.
And I called it, by the way, okay? And I told people that I'm not a chef.
Okay. And so you, when you were on the show, this is the understanding that everybody had, that you are not, I mean, when you say you're not a chef, you mean that you didn't qualify, you didn't study, you didn't do that whole thing.
Absolutely, yes, okay. Yes.
But you do have a love and a passion for food.
Absolutely.
And you do make food.
I do make amazing food, minus the cameras, minus the lighting, minus the makeup. And so when you add those wonderful, interesting elements into the mix, that dough that we're supposed to make ends up being a disaster.
I always wonder about the pressures of, you know, having to do that kind of thing with, you know, the lights, the cameras,
the time, the
cut.
The
All right,
cut.
Let's do that
yes,
again.
Absolutely,
the 16-hour days of filming.
Yes, yes.
Because you know when we see it on our screens, it's a nicely packaged finished
absolutely.
Product. But the process of making it,
the palaver, the performance of it all, my love, is just not on. But it was an amazing experience nonetheless. I met some fantastic people, but the reason I was chosen, it's because I was a head chef for a restaurant, a bistro, if you will, called Thrive Cafe in Club Soweto.
Yes, yes.
In Orlando.
On Villa Gazi Street, right?
In Vanilla Kazi. Vanilla Kazi Street.
Yeah.
And so I was the head chef by default there, and that is how they actually fun ads about Paddy and his wonderful culinary skills.
You said you begrudgingly agreed to go in when your friend recommended it. What was it about it that, you know, had you second guessing being a part of the experience? Why didn't you want to do it?
My buddy, because like I'm gay, like no, like, you know, because it's just like, because of who Paddy is, you know, like I'm an open book by nature. And so when you are intrinsically who you are and you've got to like throw yourself out there into the public figure, you are going to be critiqued. And I guess I was ready for that. But the response was amazing.
So it was overall a good positive response?
Overall a very, very positive response. I was surprised at the amazing feedback.
I want to go back to this very important point that you mentioned, the being critiqued by people. And, you know, I almost don't understand why it is that as soon as somebody puts themselves, you know, in a certain situation, the rest of us read it as, oh, well, you are obviously allowing us to say anything that we want to about you. And we can be mean if we feel like it, you know.
I mean, there are some meanies out there. But I guess it's not easy being different in South Africa. South Africa is, in its entirety, a very conservative. Do not be fooled. South Africa is very, very conservative.
You know this from personal experience?
I know that for sure.
Yeah.
And so it's a very misogynistic society.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're not part of the status quo, you are going to be judged, and those are going to smile in front of your face. But meanwhile, back in the ranch, they've got a lot to say or tweet about it. But you know, you kind of need to be thick-skinned about it. You've got to be a Leo Vixen like I am.
easier said than done.
But that comes with age. I'm 33. I'm a 3.3 convertible now.
Okay. See, you and I, this is why we get along.
We get along.
I'm the same. I'm
do
also...
you remember our 20s?
Oh,
do
my
you?
Gosh. Yes. I remember that in my 20s, I didn't have to worry about hangovers as much as I do now.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, my liver was happy to be exploited.
Absolutely.
And taken advantage of.
You're getting
of.
All these invites left, right, and center. I'm like, listen, can I just read a Roald Dahl?
That's how you know that you're grown up.
Yes,
right?
That you know that you're grown up, but I'm still terribly immature. Please don't get me wrong. But at a very small, minute scale compared to my 20s, I'm sure you can relate.
No, absolutely. That's how you know that you're becoming wiser.
Yes,
I suppose.
Evolving, if you will.
Yes, something like that.
Yes.
But now, Paddy. Okay, so let's go back right to the beginning, because you are born and bred in Soweto, right?
Yes,
and
I'm a Sowetan.
You are a Sowetan.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And so when you were growing up as a child, you had ideas of doing what as an adult? Because, you know, you kind of sort of ended up here.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm right here where I belong. With my ballet.
Was it a case of you, you know, making your way through a maze and then eventually finding where you wanted to go to? Or did you have other plans of doing other things when you were still younger?
I think it's important to have... I've always known that I'm different. First of all, you've got to go through that maze first.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to go through that sense of self-discovery. You know, people are like, oh my God, have you always been this way? I don't know what a closet looks like. I don't know. Listen, I don't know what a closet looks
like. You've never been in a closet.
I've never been in a closet. So being myself has always been my strength. And so... once you discover that, once you have that self-discovery, you kind of want to tap into all these wonderful, weird and wonderful careers that come before you. I always wanted to work at a fish and chips, because me and food. There was a meat. I promise you, there is this like fish and chips somewhere. Dishandi, Sitsan, Zone 5, because I was born and bred in Zone 5.
Yeah.
For a moment, I thought that I was a Zulu girl.
Yes.
You know, I was just like so fluent in Zulu once upon a time.
Yeah.
I truly believed. And so that was my childhood. And then I moved to Zone 4. That's where I'm currently am at.
Uh-huh.
I'm at DKNY.
Uh-huh.
And I've kind of loved cooking. You know, my mom never liked cooking. And so I was that guy that used to make his own skaftin, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm actually so glad that My mom didn't do any of that because it kind of instilled independence.
Mm-hmm.
It instilled just standing up for yourself.
And so, it was also something that you discovered you loved.
Yes, that I loved cooking and I loved being around people. I love socializing. And so being an events architect, being a chef was kind of like a calling since 1983, you know?
Since you were born.
I'll see. Since I was born.
Since you stepped into the world.
Absolutely.
I love the fact that you say that you don't know the inside of a closet.
No, I
don't. Because you've never been in one. And so tell me, having been an open book since day one,
yes,
what did that look like for a younger Paddy? Because I can imagine growing up as a child,
right,
you're there doing your thing. Maybe there's some adults around you who are going,
yes,
okay, but what is this kid doing?
Absolutely.
I don't understand this. It's wrong. You know, the ignorance, the old school way of thinking where people have a problem just accepting.
Obviously, I was oblivious to the external matters. That were before my eyes. I mean, you know, I was like, this is who I am. And Nekihlala Chicago, Le Party, Diketo, with my girls.
And I'm sure you beat some of the girls.
Listen. I'm like, kios Chuzana, why can't I?
Nobody could mess with me.
Yeah, don't mess with me.
Yeah.
So it was purely me being authentic and being myself. But as the years progress, you're like, oh, maybe I should turn it down because I need to be accepted. You mean, you ask someone who I went to high school with, they're like, no, but we've always known that you were gay. But, you know, if you were to ask me in standard 8,
yeah,
Paddy, are you gay? Had you asked me, I was going to tell you that, yes, vele, I am gay. But nobody ever asked me. I don't ask people whether they're straight or otherwise.
That is...
Why do I feel then... Why? You know what I mean? I'm like, yes, it's like Captain Obvious. Look at me. My favorite color is pink. And I love Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? What else can I show to the world that I'm gay?
Do you think it made it easier then for you because you never had to do the quote unquote coming out thing? Because people would look at you and they'd say, oh, but of course Paddy is gay. We know this.
Yes.
Do you think that made it easier versus if you'd had to, you know, start the first few years of your life pretending and therefore having people, you know, not being sure of whether or not you're straight or gay?
Yes, absolutely. I think that kind of helped. It helped tremendously. But I was much more accepted by, you know, in inverted commas, my vanilla people.
Oh, this would be the whites.
Yeah, the whites accepted my gayness. And, you know, I always say vanilla people matter too, even in 2016.
Oh.
Vele.
Okay, all lives matter,
yes,
okay.
Yes, all lives matter. And vele. And I'm going to throw it out there. You know, I was fully accepted of who I was in my flaws and in my fabulousness, being who I am without having to tone down my innate personality.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I will go to Orlando, Shandi Singana, and then, you know, I've got to tone it down because I'm with my Bali and her crew, for example, and they couldn't handle it. But now we're living in a better world, I guess.
Has there been a lot of improvement?
Somebody
being born gay today,
yeah,
versus you back in 1983, are they in a better off situation?
They're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be, but you've got to understand that we're very prejudiced. What you say to your 5-year-old niece when watching Sumizi on Idols, just because Sumizi is an extraordinaire and, you know, he's wearing his wonderful Gaga shoes, your commentary...
With a blonde weave.
Looking absolutely ravishing.
Well, only the way that Sumizi can. I mean, So Mizi pulls off looks that none of most of us would look
gives
like idiots.
Me life. So Mizi gives me that joie de vivre. You know what I mean? And so what you say to your child, that little comment, that little snide comment, ooh, sheba o apereng, that is you being discriminatory.
I don't think a lot of people even consider that in their day to day.
Exactly. Hey? So here's your 5-year-old Patty listening to you and saying, oh, so that can't be right being myself. So your self-esteem, what you're trying to build is tumbling down because of what you're hearing at home. So it starts at home.
And in your home, growing up, you were obviously loved and accepted, and you didn't have to, you know, well, I'm assuming you didn't have to jump over hurdles or anything like that to have your family understand that, okay, but this is me. I mean, what's the issue? What's the problem?
It's not like it was like a walk in the park. I mean, my mom, who has loved me since 1983, it's like, okay, now I've got a gay child. And I'm like, yes, Ma, by the way, this is how it is. But she loves me unconditionally. And I am eternally grateful for that. I might just weep about it.
Oh, okay.
But really, I don't give a hoot about what anybody says. The undiluted love that I've received and still receiving from my mother is unmatched because of who I am and who I'm becoming. And so the external factors, negative or otherwise, don't bother me because mommy knows best.
I am joined by Paddylicious, aka Paddy, aka Motlatsi Khwele, this morning here on clipcentral.com. We're hanging out for the next couple of minutes or so. You will know him from Top Chef SA. How long did you last on the show before people were like, you know what, that's just too much Paddy for us to handle. We're gonna cut him loose.
It was like 3 episodes, right? Your show. It was like 3 episodes of fun. Listening to like people's diaries, they're like, yeah, you know, Paddy should have left. Paddy is useless. You know what I mean? But it was just so much fun. Exhausting. I mean, there'll be times where I'm like, can I just chill in the hotel room?
With a glass of wine.
Can I have
really?
My frozen grapes, yeah. Claus?
I wanna get more into the show and then also more importantly into what the show has done for you career wise, yes. How it's launched the kind of stuff, the kind of work that you find yourself involved in now.
Fantastic.
Cliffcentral.com.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, gator cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimp mobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
Sipping tea with myself, Mabale Moloi. Flying solo today in the sense that my partner in crime, Dumi Morake, is away in New Zealand, but not completely solo in studio, joined by my very good friend, Paddy Khwele. You will know him from Top Chef fame, the chef who made it onto Top Chef SA. The not chef who made it onto Top Chef SA. So tell me about the after effects of having been on that show and how that has changed what you are busy with now in terms of work, in terms of projects that you're involved in.
It has catapulted Brand Paddy into the stratosphere. It really, truly has. I've got like a couple of weddings coming up that I'm coordinating.
Ooh, that's tough work.
It is a lot of work.
Are you sure you can handle the stress?
Like, do you know who I am?
You know what? I'm a little bit nervous at the idea of you coordinating a wedding, because I would imagine that you would have more of a dramatic meltdown than the bride
no,
when
no.
things are not going right.
No, when things are not going right, somebody has to calm down. So I can't be that person, you know. It's life's a stage, and so I've got to keep it together for the bride to be. Mel, so it's Mel's wedding coming up, and I know she's listening. Okay, Al. So the last thing you need to say, Mel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a pally though.
Jesus,
hey, you told me it's any game, Mara.
I'm sorry.
No, so I'll take it upon my stride to make it work. So far, so good.
And when you're planning, when you're planning somebody's wedding, at what point does the planning actually start? 6 months, 8 months before the day? I mean, the last thing you want is your friend coming to you and say, "Patty, I need you to do my wedding, but we're getting married in 2 months." Or not really.
Yeah, I mean, time is of the essence, but more than anything else, planning. And so given a short or a longer period of time, if you don't plan well, things are going to go haywire. So I'm not really interested. Time is important. It is of paramount importance. But, you know, it's the planning. It's the behind the scenes. That's what keeps me going.
And it's very hard work.
It's a lot of work. It's time consuming. It takes a lot of data. Ooh, Vodacom, though.
All of those
absolutely.
Networks. Is it harder or easier, or is it not really a case of comparing to, you know, working in a kitchen, running an entire kitchen? Because when you worked for, is it Cafe Thrive?
Thrive Cafe.
I mean, was that more stressful than the coordinating and planning of events, or would you say that you can't really compare the two?
You've got to understand that Thrive Cafe was a beast of its own,
yeah.
Because I was the head chef and the events architect. So I was running those two very tight ships. DK Mara. But like, that's what I did. And so those were, That took a lot of time, a lot of effort. It's not easy being consistent.
That is such an important point to make.
Yes, it's not easy. Kind of like doing the same burger you ate last year, and you coming a year later. You go there. You revisit that friend, if you will, because of the same qualities that their friend still has. It's like that burger. That burger kind of needs to be consistent. No changes. It's all about consistency. And that is what life is all about.
Is it difficult maintaining consistency when you're the head chef of a restaurant, considering how easily bored people and customers become with things? You know, once upon a time, Banting pizzas were not a thing. You know, these days everybody's had a Banting pizza because,
yes,
you know, it's in and it's,
yes,
new.
It's the latest trend.
And yes, we all want to be seen, you know, to be knowledgeable about
these
kinds.
You want to be current.
Of, so
yeah,
how do you then balance being consistent versus, you know, exciting customers with something new?
The customers part, that was the easy part.
Oh, really? Because I think that we can be horrible individuals as customers. Hey?
I don't give a hoot about that.
Good for you.
Yes, no, that really doesn't interest me. I can call me whatever you want to call me. Again, thick-skinned. I don't care. But what's more interesting is behind the scenes. It's the people that you work with. It's those personalities, it's those intricacies that make a kitchen alive and a restaurant in its entirety. It's the team behind you that kind of like propel you into doing something magnificent, because nobody does it alone. No man is an island. So you need a fantastic support system, or else things will go haywire.
And when it comes to, you know, you mentioned teamwork, which is important. I've always, for some reason, I've always assumed that, you know, chefs, head chefs. Mm. You know, you are the head chef of Thrive Cafe. I've always assumed that being in that kind of position comes with a certain amount of ego, you know, a certain amount of, yeah, listen, I'm the man in charge right now.
Yes.
I am going to change your life. I'm going to make your day.
Yes.
But you say that teamwork is entirely important and realizing that you can't do it without the rest of the guys.
Oh, teamwork is off. It is absolutely important. There's, you know, you've got to let down your ego as well. You wanna be that budding leader, and you wanna listen and let me hear your story. But living in South Africa, coming to work is not just coming to work. You know, there are social factors that you need to bear in mind. Erica has 5 children, and maybe the partner didn't take the child to school. So that breaks the chain. So you've got to wait for Erica, and you know, you've got to understand those. It can't just be Erica's problem. It ends up being your problem as well because of the other factors.
Because whatever is getting in Erica's way of being productive is affecting your kitchen.
It's affecting my kitchen. So succinctly put. Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Paddy, what about, didn't you spend some time in
Obamaland.
In the States? You
yes,
did, hey.
Yes.
At what point in your life did this happen? When did you leave for the States?
I left in 2009.
So you were... let's try and do the math.
I was 20 something.
Okay, so you were still in your wild days.
Remember my wild days? You were still
a freak of note. How did you end up going to the United States?
I went to Obamaland, and
it's going
to
be Trump land soon.
Sure, but oh, God forbid. I'm with her, by the way.
Yes, of course. We are all with Hillary. We are all with Hillary.
So I went to God's waiting room called Key West. I mean, it's a beautiful little island, kind of like it is. It is a gorgeous island in Key West, Florida, called Key West.
Uh-huh.
And so I worked at Casa Marina.
What's
Casa Marina Resort?
Oh, okay.
It was a Waldorf Astoria resort, honey.
And what were your duties and responsibilities? What were you getting yourself involved in?
I was the front desk person there.
Oh.
I was checking everybody in. It was so cool being different. Oh, we love your accent. I'm like, yeah, bo. That means $5 tip.
How much time did you spend in the US?
I was there for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for 1 year. I had a fantastic time. And then I went to Orlando, worked at another Hilton hotel. So, and in the midst of all that, just traveling the US, being different actually worked. I did not have... nobody called me, hey, yeah, when are you, whatever. The hospitality was amazing.
Just a lot more tolerant.
Terribly so.
Yeah.
Terribly so. One human family. It was incredible. One of the best moments of my life. In the US, Nochal, do you believe?
No, I can't. Look, I can imagine. I can believe. Also, I can imagine that being in a country like the United States, because it's so big and so vast, it almost feels like, you know, traveling just from the East Coast to the West Coast feels like you've traveled to an entirely different land altogether.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many different varieties of people.
Different tapestries, if you will. Yeah. So, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Just meeting people from totally different backgrounds. Just kind of like absorbing, immersing yourself. You don't want to be a foreigner and not wanting to be part and parcel of the community. You want to get involved. You want to know. You don't want to go where the tourists go. You want to go where the locals go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is the key difference.
It is the key. You know what I mean? So...
When you went to the States, did you go by yourself or your own? Did you go with somebody? Did you have somebody on that side when you arrived? Because, you know, being in a brand new country by your lonesome for a whole year... I mean, did you have to make friends from scratch, or were there people that you already knew that side anyway?
Yeah, you see, this is why
I'm a chicken. So this is probably, I don't know that I'd be able to survive in a place where I didn't know anybody else by myself for that long.
You will. Don't underestimate your power. The beauty of going there alone is that you don't have to worry about the next person. It's entirely onto you. You know, if you want to go to New York next week, you just go to New York. You don't have to worry about your best friend because your best friend wants to go to California, for example.
Yeah.
So you've got that freedom, I guess. And you meet amazing people.
Who are accommodating and friendly
accommodating
and willing to help.
And willing to help. They're just so hospitable. You know, I guess when you're alone, you follow your instincts. You know, we're animals at the end of the day, aren't we?
Definitely we are. Also, when you're alone and in a country where people don't know you and where you don't have to worry about your mother finding out what you're up to.
Yes.
Isn't it just that much more tempting to let it... Like, let it go buck wild.
Wildest dreams.
Just
can you imagine?
Just doing all the things that you would be otherwise too afraid to do here back at home.
Absolutely.
Because people here know you and word might get back to them.
Word might just get, so you do all the things.
So what kind of things were you
doing?
Ah,
mabali,
We are uncensored here. So technically, you know, we're grown enough to be able to have this kind of conversation. But look at that. We've already run out of time, Paddy.
Oh, my gosh. But what an amazing time I've had with you.
So how do we keep up with you then, Paddy? How do we make sure that, you know, if I want to get a hold of you for my wedding next year in July, that,
okay.
You know, I mean, how do we get in touch with you? How do we keep up with what you're up to and what
you can email me on Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, O-Z-O-N, all small letters, one word, @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can actually find me on Facebook, aka Facebook, Paddy Power.
Sorry, Facebook.
Facebook.
What's the meaning behind that?
Because I like a bri once in a while.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Okay. So there's nothing dirty about
nothing,
it.
Nothing untoward.
I was thinking something entirely different, but that's fine.
Of course you were, honey.
And on Twitter.
On Twitter, it's Tlatsi, because ke motlatsi.
Okay.
It's Tlatsi Pinka, so one word, @ Tlatsi Pinka, TLATSIPINKER.
Paddy, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you, Mapale Moloi.
What a pleasure. Nice to catch up with you, as always. That's Paddy Khwele of Top Chef SA fame, who is also an events architect. Is that a brand new thing? Is that something that you just coined yourself?
I coined myself.
Architect. I like it, you know? It's your world. You get to decide what happens in it.
You know?
And we'll be back with you next week Tuesday, same time, same place. Be sure to download this and any of our other podcasts on cliffcentral.com. It's so good to be back. Back home, where I belong, where I'm loved by my partner in crime, Dumi Moraike, who is in New Zealand currently, but will be back with me next week, Tuesday, for our fantastic reunion show. Yes. Cliffcentral.com.